This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, there's no fake news here, is there, Mike?
No, it's the real thing, and you can take it to the bank, and it'll feed your house.
There you go, and very inexpensive, too.
Yeah, just a little bit of labor, that's it. So, welcome to the show, and this is about garden tips, plant ideas, things like that. And if you have any questions about anything in your yard or garden, 673-4464 is the number to call. We'll get you right in. You ask your question. I will give you an honest answer, believe it or not. And you'll be happy to go, set to go. But no matter what I'm speaking about, you can interrupt that chain of thought and ask your question. I can get back on track fairly quickly because I've got lots of notes.
It sounds pretty simple.
It is simple. So, but today, this show is about healthy plants.
Okay.
And in that certain plants are good for our health. Uh-huh. How's that?
Imagine that.
I know. You know, there's some that aren't good, like poison oak and things like that.
Oh, but, I was thinking of the other, but okay.
Yeah, right. I'm not going there. But the these are things that will heal you, will fix you, will make you feel good, healthy, etc. And the first potential healer is St. John's wort. St. John's wort. Do you know about St. John's wort?
I have heard it, and I have taken it, but it didn't seem to do much for me.
Well, I noticed that over the years.
Yeah.
No, this is a ground cover that people plant in their yard on steep slopes and things like that because nothing else will grow up there. Well, St. John's wort will grow out of concrete, for crying out loud. I've seen it. But it, like I say, it's a potential healer. And when you plant it, it reproduces itself amazingly fast. It just takes over. And its best use is to plant it in places that are steep, in the sun or the shade, and get a total ground cover very quickly in your yard. And I've said this in the past, but I planted 1 4-inch pot of St. John's wort in my field, maybe 40 years ago. I mean, it's a long time ago. And we weren't even living out there. And I thought, well, let's test this puppy and see what happens.
Why not?
Yeah. And right now, that from that one plant, and this isn't a 4-inch planted pot, a little teeny thing. Okay. So right now, after all those years of no care, no water, no fertilizer, and very little sun, because I put it in the shade on purpose just to see how good it would do, it now covers an area about 20 feet wide and 40 feet long from that one plant.
Wow.
And it's thick. I mean, there's no space in there. And I'd say in another 100 years, it'll take over my entire valley. But it seems like you can't get rid of it once you got it to. Now,
sounds like other things I know.
I know. and I know enough St. John's wort to stock a drugstore. I mean, it's...
you can make some money on it.
You got it. There's a process by which you squeeze the leaves and you squeeze the red... I don't know if it's... The juice from the plant, or it's just from the leaf, or what? And I don't know enough about it. I read about it, and I thought, well, how in the world do you do that? But it didn't really give any explanation.
Of course not. They want to keep it for themselves.
Yeah. Right. Okay. But this thing is very healthy for you, and in a lot of respects. And these invasive little ground covers, like I say, they're tough and fast-growing and need no care. And like I say, they're also a great ground cover because they just cover the ground in lightning speed.
And nothing bothers them.
No, nothing bothers them. The deer don't bother them. The slugs don't bother them. I think a D9 cat would bother them.
But it'd come right back.
But it'd come right back, you betcha. So what are they good for, huh? Well, this herb can work as an antidepressant, mm-hmm. with few side effects, an antidepressant with very few side effects. It has been used as an herb for hundreds of years. In addition to being tough, its flowers are bright yellow and can bloom from like spring to midsummer or even beyond midsummer. Hmm. And then the oil that you squeeze from the leaves can be used to treat muscle pain, inflammation, and soreness.
Oh, and try that. I tried it for whatever it was
did
called.
Did you buy it out of a drugstore?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I've not tried that out of a drugstore. I'm sure that's cut with whatever, but I'm gonna try it this year.
And
try to squeeze some of these. It calls it it's like a red. It's not a normal looking
liquid.
It's kind of red, and that's the stuff that's the good stuff. So.
Oh, okay.
But it also helps with balancing blood sugar, nervous tension, nerve pain, bladder infections, and slow bleeding and stomach discomfort. That's a lot of coverage there. But I don't know for a fact that what you buy out of a drugstore will have the same effects, or will it be that, you know, as strong as what you could grow in your own yard and mm-hmm. have.
That's a good point.
Yeah. But it also can alleviate melancholy, which is a feeling of sadness or despair or gloom. In other words, it gets you in a good mood. Not giddy or weird, just eliminate.
Like some other things.
Yeah, not like some other plants that would have some effect on you. But it does, it says it eliminates the feelings of sadness, despair, and gloom. And I thought, well, gee whiz. And this plant has been used since the 12th century way back in wherever.
China must have had it.
It probably did. It probably had, you know, most of the world have it. But before using St. John's wort, do your work on how to use it properly for best results. And there, and this plant book that I was reading about it specifically, it had a lot of information that I was not even aware of. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool stuff to know. I mean, I'm going to try it. I'm going to see what I can do and see what I can manufacture from my own plants and actually see. But I'm never despair. I don't have any despair or sadness or gloom, so I don't know. You know, I'm outside all the time. I don't have time for that stuff. But it's also been found to heal wounds more quickly and cleanly when used as a salve. Yeah.
I'll be darned.
Okay.
Well, it's quite the miracle plant.
It is. So we're looking at a ground cover that heals, it grows quickly, and has beautiful flowers and needs little care or maintenance. Now, you can't beat that.
And it can almost cure depression.
Yes.
Hey.
So if you're depressed, go eat some St. John's wort in your yard or your neighbor's yard.
Be sure to boil it. No, I don't know anything about it. I don't know how to.
So if you have a tough spot in your yard, you know, tough, where you've tried ground covers, you tried plants, you tried a tree, and nothing seemed to grow there, try some St. John's wort. It'll grow there, I guarantee it. I've actually seen it grow out of pavement and concrete. You know, you get a crack in the concrete, and somewhere a seed from a St. John's wort or something blew in there, and it germinated. You know, I mean, and you go, how in the world could that do that? You know, figure concrete's 4 inches thick, and then you got rock and sand underneath that. But it did it anyway. It says, watch this. I'll take over the earth or something like that, you know.
Probably grows on the coast, too.
Oh, it grows everywhere. It grows everywhere.
Tibet.
But if you're going to do this at home and get a good start and use some good organic soil and mix it up real well. And, you know, maybe just a little water to get it off to a good start. And once it's established, you just stand back and watch it grow. It doesn't need to be watered. It doesn't need to be fertilized.
Nice.
And it's just a fast-growing ground cover. And a few years ago, I was up in Whistler's Bend, and we were doing a job for a guy in his front yard.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived right on Whistler's Bend Road, and in his backyard, the hill went straight down to the North Umpqua River. I mean, his front yard was all flat, and then this house was back back there by the cliff, and then there was the cliff, and then there was the river down there.
He had his own diving board.
Well, it'd be a long dive, but but anyway, he planted St. John's wort on that hill, and I asked him about it because this hill was probably his backyard on the hill. It had to be a good half acre or something like that, maybe a little bit more.
Jeez.
I'm being conservative on the half acre.
Yeah,
and he planted a few here and there. Oh, I forget how many years ago he told me, but, you know, say 10, 15 years ago. And the whole hillside was covered in St. John's wort, thick covered.
I'll be darned.
And again, no water. And this is a rocky soil mm-hmm. on a steep, steep area. And he had built a trail, kind of a switchback trail, all the way down to the river where he kept his boat. And that's, you know, you couldn't even walk down this slope. It was so steep and rocky.
Mm-hmm.
But when he built a trail, you know, no problem. But that St. John's wort just covered. There was a few oak trees coming up in along the banks, and I think maybe a fir tree or two.
Yeah.
But the St. John's wort, there must have been a million plants down there.
Wow.
That's how good it is. That's how tough it is. And obviously, he doesn't take care of it. He doesn't water it. He doesn't fertilize
Probably
it.
Probably doesn't need to down there by the river.
No. Not at all. But the ground, was so terrible, I was surprised. I was surprised that it grew so wild and healthy and just covered, like I say, every square inch of it except for the trail that it keeps clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
too bad not everything grows like that.
Yeah, well, this thing is definitely a weed, but it's a great it's a great ground cover, and it has some, you know, health benefits that go with it. And you just stand back, watch it grow, and it does.
In your notes there, does it say how it got its name, St. John's wort?
Yes, it was in what I was doing the research on, and I skipped over that part.
Oh, okay.
I read about it.
Some guy's wort, I'm assuming.
Well, yeah, I guess.
St. John.
St. John's wort, yeah. So, Hypericum is the Latin name for it. Hypericum, H-Y-P-E-R-I-C-A-M, Hypericum.
Ah.
Yeah. So if you look up Hypericum, you'll find it.
Maybe you'll find a picture of St. John.
Yeah, you could. He's on horseback with plants growing out of his saddle.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's the race. Oh, but it's a plant. It's a plant that really, really does well in Douglas County, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm sure it does well in other areas. I don't know how it would do in the desert regions of, say, Eastern Oregon or Eastern Northeastern California, where they, you know, high desert,
mm-hmm.
lots of snow, sand, and stuff like that. But it'd be interesting to know if it actually survived over there as well. And where I planted mine, like I say, it was the myrtle trees. It's almost total shade, and it's basically a sun plant. And but this was, like I say, well, there might have been a little filtered sun about noon or something to get down through the myrtle trees, but no, otherwise it's shady.
Other than that, there wasn't, yeah.
No. And the ground was good because of the soil was near the creek. But like I say, after the first, when I planted that one little tiny plant, I might have watered it a couple of times a month the first summer, but then I thought, well, you know, what's the point? Let's see how tough this really is.
Yeah, and it rains anyway.
And it rained, and then, you know, the next year there's, you know, four or five little plants.
Offspring.
You know, offspring, yeah, coming up from the root system. And like I say, now it's at least 40, a 40-foot patch long and at least 20 feet wide.
And still growing.
Oh, yeah. It's a nonstop thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if Roundup will even kill it.
You know, I'm thinking evil here.
Don't think evil. This is
this is a family show. I was thinking you can give it to some of your neighbors that you didn't really care for. And just,
well, as a gift.
Yeah,
and an
Easter.
An Easter gift in a nice pot and say, here, why don't you plant this in your yard?
There you go.
And see what happens.
And
to
feel
it.
Happy.
Yeah. We'll be back. Hopefully.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Oh, my, my, my. Can't wait for that show.
Yeah.
We're talking, never mind. We're talking about St. John's Wort, actually, is what we're speaking of.
Yeah, we're talking about healthy plants today.
Right.
And plants that grow well here in Douglas County. And most of these healthy plants, they seem to be able to grow anywhere. They're that tough.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've been in use for a lot of years.
Centuries.
By people that were, you know, here 100 years ago or 200 years ago. And over time, they developed different plant materials that were conducive to good health.
Mm-hmm. And they knew what they were doing.
Exactly. And that seems to have been, as the drug industry and, you know, the modern society developed, it seems as though that part of the natural area was ignored. So they could do it in a lab and produce it and mass produce it and blah,
make
blah,
the
blah.
Almighty dollar.
Exactly. But in the last, 15, 20, 25 years, there are more, I don't know how to phrase this, but more folks are going to natural remedies for aches and pains and gloom and doom and all that kind of thing. And there's a lot of folks that actually use this stuff. And
you could actually say it may have started back in the 60s with the hippies.
Well, probably even prior to that. But and I don't know how they used it, but they did. So
it was all natural.
So like I say, all you have to do is plant one and have a natural medicine for the rest of your life. And I don't know what it tastes like. I don't know if you drink it or mix it with something. Or, you know, the literature that I was reading didn't go that far as to, you know, how do you use it? I mean, do you just use it straight out of the leaf and put some on your tongue and bingo?
Let it go or what?
Let it go or do you mix it in a tea, like you said, or in water or you know, something along those lines.
Maybe one of our listeners have tried it.
Yeah, if you have an answer for me, call 673-4464 and tell me the answer about St. John's Wort. That would be good.
And where it's at. No.
Yeah. Oh, I know where it's all over Roseburg. It's all over Douglas County for crying out loud. Oh, gosh. And, you know, as you may have noticed as you drive around town, or go for your daily walk, that there are some large evergreen shrubs in very full bloom with many colors. When I say large, some of them are, you know, 10, 12 feet, that size. They're fairly good size, and they're just covered with these multicolored blooms that are just gorgeous. And it seems like Douglas County, we have a lot of camellias, is what I'm talking about.
Oh,
yeah, and they are just a great plant to have in your yard. I don't know what medicinal good they are. I haven't tried to eat a flower or a leaf.
You haven't tried boiling them or anything?
Boiling them, making a tea out of them or anything like that. But you'll see them just all over right now. They're just in full bloom. And this long, long period of cold days and rain and very little heat has made the blooming time last a lot longer than normal.
Oh, wow.
Because as long as the camellias are, as long as it's wet and cool, they seem to bloom slowly and more profusely and just for a longer time. Whereas if it were,
normal
March 1st, it gets to be 70 degrees and you know, and within a couple of weeks, the blooms are done.
Whereas right now, at my
former nursery that I used to own, that I've got some big ones in the back that I planted, 20 some odd years ago, and I've pruned them into trees.
They're
really pretty, and they're just, the blooms are so big and so heavy that the branches are all kind of hanging down, I mean, because of the weight. And the blooms are as big as, as big as baseballs or softballs, for crying out loud.
Wow.
Yeah, and so they're they're just going to town, but you can see them all over as you drive through, you know, neighborhoods and things like that. You see something that's just, you know, wow, look at that. It's, you know, it's a camellia, for crying out loud. But like I say,
you never would have thought it.
No. But they're early bloomers, you know, and they some of them start in February. Some of them even start like toward the end of January. And one year when we had a kind of a mild winter, mm-hmm. some were starting in the end of December at my nursery, I saw. And so it's a real weather-related kind of blooming time. And I don't
know. So
they
can almost predict what kind of winter or spring.
Almost. That would be.
Almost.
But they, like I say, usually on average, they'll start in early February. And they'll continue easily into April. And I've even had some blooms on mine clear into May, you know, like the first part of May before it's really started to get warm. Mm. And but they love this wet, cold, rainy weather.
And a little frost thrown in.
It doesn't hurt them a bit. They don't even blink, you know, that's good. And some I've pruned into shrubs, and I've let them go, you know, 5 or 6 feet tall. And while if they're not pruned, they can grow into small trees. They'll get, oh gosh, I've got the ones at the nursery, they're probably 10 to 12 feet tall.
Wow.
And when I started with them, they were about, I had pruned them, I had transplanted them from one location to the next, so I pruned them fairly heavily down to about, you know, 2.5-3 feet. Mm. And then when I replanted them after we built our new building, they, you know, they kicked off and they started, and now they've been in, gosh, I don't know, 15 years, 20 years, something like that. And they're just beautiful, and they're big, and you can't even tell where I pruned them. But what I did, they're a multi, kind of a multi-stem. They're not like a, you can prune them into a single stem, but they're by natural, their natural growth habit is to have multi-stems. They might have 3 stems or 4 stems.
And each one would produce a flower.
Oh, each one produces hundreds of flowers.
Oh.
Yes, hundreds. I mean, it's amazing. And so what I did is I took like the 3 best or the 4 best stems and pruned all the rest of it off at the bottom and then let the top grow to a certain height. And then I pruned the tops and kind of round out the tree.
Oh, okay.
And they're just beautiful. And
clever.
They're a great yard tree, a great yard shrub. Mm. And I've seen them used as hedges. That's not what I would use them for, but if you had a lot of room and you didn't have to prune them a lot, they make a nice natural hedge.
Do deer leave it alone?
Deer don't touch them.
Nice.
Can you imagine?
No.
No, I can't either, but they don't touch them. And, you know, roadies are kind of the same way in that respect. The deer might bite a leaf, but that's about it.
Yeah,
they don't mess with them.
Yeah.
But
it's amazing what they do and don't.
Yeah. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's poisonous to them or they just taste bad.
Smell,
or
smell or whatever.
Smell, exactly. And these guys bloom, and there's lots and lots of color to them, and you can't beat them. And the early bloomers, like I said, start in, oh, some of them end of January, early February, and then they just continue into April at least. Mm. And some of them in the right spot, in a shady spot where it's really cool, and they don't get a lot of sunlight. The blooms last longer. And the sun is the only detriment to the blooms. If it came out and it was 75 degrees tomorrow for the next 6 days, the blooms would be gone in a week.
Wow.
Yeah. So. But they like
time
I said,
to hide.
Yeah, I don't want this stuff. Let's get out of here, man.
Your turn.
Yeah. But they look good as a small tree. They're not a fast growing plant. I mean, they might grow, maybe a foot a year, something like that. So they're not going to be something that's going to get out of hand or crazy for you in 3 years. And you go, what did I plant that thing there for? You know, it's blocking the window and the driveway and the front door. But
there's no space.
There's no space. But my mine that I planted at the nursery, the 8 or 9 of them, I can't remember if it's 8 or 9 of them now. I didn't count them recently. But I got them all across the back of the building. In a raised planter, and in the raised planter is nothing but bark mulch, and they love that.
Oh,
there's no soil in there at all, just bark mulch. Yeah,
Nice.
They love it. They love it good.
Cheap, 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 cheap.
And we've taken a lot of, excuse me, a lot of cuttings off them over the years. I had another nurseryman. He wanted to do cuttings from my plants. And
now, that's got to be a compliment.
Yeah. And he loved them. And our deal was, well, go ahead, take all you want, all the cuttings you want, and then pay me, give me half of them back when they're rooted in.
Oh, okay.
So he'd do, say, 300 cuttings, and I'd get 150 plants or 100 plants back that were small. But, you know, you repot them in a, mm-hmm. in a gallon can or a two-gallon can,
sure.
and in 2 years they're saleable items.
Yeah, and you got the next generation.
Exactly.
There. Yeah.
Exactly. And you got true coloration, you got true genetics, and so they're going to be like the mother plants.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't really cost you anything.
No, just, and we did that for, gosh, 10 years.
That's economics 101
there. Oh, yeah, and he was a great grower. He did a lot of that. I bought a lot of Japanese maples from him over the years, and he grew just kind of exotics, expensive types of plants, and where you don't find at any of the box stores or anything like that. What are you doing with the buttons?
Got a phone call.
All right, a phone call.
A phone call. Hello there. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, Mike. Sorry I missed all the show, so I didn't get to hear what you did. You said they're in the bark mulch, but they're not. You don't have any soil there. I don't know what you were talking about, but
I was talking about my camellias.
Oh, camellias. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I have a question about elderberry. I did not cut my elderberry down to the bottom of the stalk this year, and it's kind of growing into a tree. Is it too late? I'm supposed to cut those, I guess, in February. And I didn't. So should I just leave it as a tree, or is it too late to cut?
How many stems do you have? Is it one single stem or several?
I have one main stalk,
mm-hmm.
and then I have like two stalks coming up from that plant. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the two that are coming up, how tall are they?
They're about 2 feet.
Oh, well, I wouldn't bother cutting those. You'd be okay cutting the tall one if you like.
Don't, oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. They're tough.
Will it not bear if I just leave it as a tree?
No, it'll bear. I don't know how much it'll bear. It depends on the rest of the spring and, you know, the. Is it in a place where you irrigate it, or is it just growing wild in some corner?
No, I planted it. Uh-huh. I dug some of it up and gave to a friend also, but that was earlier in the winter.
Uh-huh.
But I do want whatever berries it will provide this year. I'm kind of experimenting with elderberry at this point.
Sure. Well, cut 50% off and see what happens.
Okay.
You're not going to hurt it at all. You're going to strengthen the root system.
Okay.
No.
Because I want to be able to use the stalk, so I know how to trim, you know, graft the stalk and all that, so I want to try to do that. Okay, I am going to see what I might do about it. I just wanted to get your professional opinion, and I appreciate you.
Well, thank you, and when you have success, please call me back and say, hey, it worked. It's really great.
Wonderful, I will. Thank you, Mike.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, if all else fails, can turn it into wine, right? Elderberry
wine, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's obviously break time.
Break time, yes.
Yeah. Our phone number, Mike?
673-4464.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Wow, shaking out our nerves there a little bit.
Yeah, you had the volume up just a wee bit, sir.
Yes, sir.
There goes my eardrums.
You're not alone.
You're good. Oh, gosh. Well, I've been talking about camellias and the blooms and how beautiful they are. And if you are looking for a nice evergreen plant that doesn't need very much care at all, maybe the first year a little bit, but after that, very, very little, and you plant it in a spot where it's morning sun, afternoon shade, that's when you get the best results. If you plant it in the full sun, it will grow and survive, but the leaves will get a little sunburnt, and I've tried it, and I've seen it, and they will get a little sunburnt. The blooming process is not as magnificent if they were in the shady area, but they're really a plant that likes that partial shade, especially in the afternoon. The hot sun, you know, June, July, August sun, does a number on their leaves, so you want to skip that part of it. But they are a great plant to have. They're, like I say, once established, they're easy to work with, they're easy to deal with, and you're good to go. And like I say, they're not very, very fast growing, but they're very full and very, not exotic, but they just look good. They just look healthy. They just look like they belong in Oregon, you know. And some interesting facts, they are native to Eastern and Southern Asia. And there are over 3,000 named varieties of camellias. And I could not find the literature that named all 3,000 of them. In my camellia book, there might have been 50 or 60 different varieties with color pictures and, you know, the verbiage that goes along with them. But 3,000 named varieties. That means there's a difference in each one of those. And some guy in the scientific world years ago named these things, and boom. So that's that's how versatile they are. And like I say, they do best in a highly mulched soil with good drainage. And the ones I have at my nursery, I planted them in pure bark just to see what they would do. And they've done fantastically well. And I've had to add a little bit of bark, every 4 or 5 years because it settles and gets a little bit lower. Not by much, you know, add another 4 or 5 inches and it's good for another 4 or 5 years. But it's all just good organic material, and it's almost impossible to overwater them when they're in bark because it drains so quickly. And the bark itself absorbs the moisture so it doesn't pool, and it's not just sitting there soaking the roots and doing that kind of thing. So when you plant your new camellias, should you try, maybe the first summer, maybe once a week, a light watering, but always check the soil prior to the watering to make sure that there's no excess water in there already that hasn't drained out. When it's good and dry, you go ahead and soak it. Soak it maybe half a gallon of water or something, and that might be good for 2 weeks. That might be good for 3 weeks, depending on your soil consistency and your soil makeup. Once you get the feel of how much to put in, you'll see what happens. And then the second year is going to be even less, the third year even less, and the fourth year, if you want to water them, go ahead and water them, but I don't know if they need it at all. But as they grow, you might, like I say, maybe you're going to, only in the summer, say June, July, August, maybe September, you might be watering them twice a month or once a month at the very most. The only problems you have with camellias is, like I said, too much sun or too much water or too much fertilizer. Those are your main troublemakers. And the sun not so much as too much water and too much fertilizer. You can burn them up with fertilizer if you do it incorrectly. And the fertilizer they like would be a low nitrogen kind of a roady azalea fertilizer with a high phosphorus and high potassium percentage, because that's what develops roots and that's what develops blooms and roadies, azaleas, and other blooming plants. That's what they like. That's what they respond best to. In landscapes that are a showpiece that I've seen, used as a privacy hedge because they have those large, deep green leaves and make a solid screen. And that's very attractive. And there's not much pruning involved. It's not like a regular boxwood hedge or something like that that you have to prune every year or every other year at least. Once these get going, you very lightly pruning, and they stay, like I say, thick and green, and the leaves are big enough to give you that privacy, and they give you the beauty at the same time. They also make a nice container plant. Let's say you have a patio or deck, and you want something that's going to bloom. Excuse me. Something that's going to bloom, but you don't have the room, or your yard is all filled with other things. You can plant them in a pot that will need just a little extra care when it comes to water and fertilizing, but you don't want to overdo it. And if you put it in a container, make it large enough so that that plant can grow for at least 3 to 5 years in the pot before you have to transplant it into a larger pot. Eventually, the root system will fill the pot, and the growth of the plant will slow down, and if it stays in there too long, it might even just give it up. Mm. So,
you don't want that.
No, because then you go, wow, my big camellia just croaked, and I don't know what to do with it.
Mm.
And
all those years and work.
Yeah, all those years. So you might want to transplant it before it gets that big. So,
yeah.
But like I say, extra care in a pot just means you just feel the soil more often. Make sure of the moisture level. Make sure of the amount of fertilizer that you put in. In a pot, it might need 2 fertilizings a year, but you want to fertilize it after it blooms. When the blooms all fall off, that's when you fertilize. Same way with rhodies, same way with azaleas and things like that. But
is that because it might stunt the...
It might do something. You don't want the flowers to absorb any of that fertilizer.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
While they're still on the plant. You want to make sure that they all drop off because they take a certain amount of energy from mm-hmm. the plant to have those blooms.
Sure.
So you want the energy from the fertilizer to go to growth, to leaf growth, mm-hmm. and forming buds for the next year.
Next time.
Yeah. That's the...
Gotcha.
That's my experience with them. How's that?
Sounds yes. right to me.
Yeah, I know. You always say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you use them as a foundation plant, give them at least 3 feet. And a foundation plant, I mean, if you're going to put them along the house or along the driveway or along a fence line, give them a minimum of at least 3 feet from any structure or a wall or a driveway. And if you can give them 4 feet, it's even better. Yeah. So that you're not having to prune so much in the back, and they're not stunted in any way. So you want them fully formed.
Mm-hmm.
I had a client that he had, I think, 3 or 4 camellias on the north side of his house, which they liked, and they were beautiful camellias, but they were probably within 2 feet of the foundation. And so they were okay, and they'd been in there a long time, but they were basically one-sided. The side that was near the side near the wall had hardly any branches, hardly any leaves, and so that forced the growth to the outside, which made the plant lean
mm-hmm.
way over because that's where all the energy was going into the plant, and that's why we had to prune it every year to make sure it didn't just fall over.
Seen some trees that way.
Yeah, too. Right. Yeah. And it's just natural. It doesn't have the room to grow. It doesn't have the sunlight,
so it can't develop.
Yeah, it cannot develop. Normally, naturally, in all directions. What you got your hand on the
trigger?
We
have a final break.
Oh, I thought we were getting a phone call or something.
No, not yet. Lines are open. Speaking of which,
673-4464. Any kind of questions, fair game.
News Radio 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, that was a quick break. All right, we're back.
We're back. And if you have a question, and we only got a few minutes left, 673-4464, and we'll get you on the air. But I've been talking about camellias, and the last segment I was talking about putting them too close to a wall or a structure, and stuff like that. But another thing is they're not getting proper air circulation, and they're usually not getting enough sunlight or even light at all to really form and be the best they can be.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and it can, with closeness to a structure, you have no air circulation or very little, and so consequently you can get diseases or bugs or whatever because they like that kind of atmosphere to chew your plants up in.
Yeah.
And so you always want to put them out enough so that they can fully develop in all ways. And an easy way to think of camellias and what kind of care they need, think about rhodies, think about azaleas. They all need about the same type of care, the same type of watering, the same type of soil, the same type of fertilizer. Of course, there are some azaleas that can do real well in sun, full sun, and there are some rhodies that can do well in full sun. But the camellias are different in that respect when it comes to the sun. So basically, the care is identical. And like I say, afternoon shade is best. A well-drained mulchy soil, water, and fertilize on a conservative basis. And like I say, they won't do well in that full hot sun or in heavy clay soil. That's why you have to amend it. Or in a swamp area where it's standing water. Drain the swamp, baby. And in fact, most plants don't do well in those conditions. But there are probably St. John's wort will do
well.
They always do well anywhere. Plant them on this carpet in here, and they
probably grow. Yeah.
And if you're a first-time plant buyer, just buy one plant and see how it goes. See how it grows in your own yard, and you know, do an experiment and watch it for a year. If you have success with it and you want more of them, you've got a year's worth of experience in the watering, the fertilizing, the general care of the plant. And it's not just for camellias; it's just for any plant that you're not familiar with. Don't buy 20 things at a time unless you're an expert.
And then plant it all at once.
Yeah, plant it all at once and wonder, well, why did half of them die or three quarters of them not make it or something like that? You want to, you know, go light. And if you have success with what you put in, then you know you've got a handle on it. Then you know you can add more to it or other plants intermingled within the ones you already planted, and you'll have success. And, you know, plants anymore, with this inflation junk going on, they're really starting to get spendy. And it's amazing what I paid for a couple of redwoods here not too long ago that I had a plant for a friend. And they were twice the price of what I probably paid 2 years ago.
Wow.
And that's on the wholesale nursery market. You know?
China.
Yeah, you know, they don't come from China. They don't allow them China. So, but get used to what you do. Do a few at a time. Do it right, and you'll see good results. And keep track of your watering. Keep track of how much and how often you water, you fertilize, or any of that stuff. And, you know, it's not a full-time job or anything like that, but you come home, walk out in the yard, say, hey, it looks good, all right, and maybe feel the soil. Yeah, it's damp, it's okay, don't worry about it. The next week you're doing the same thing, it feels a little dry, you give it a shot of water. That's as simple as it gets. And that way you learn what your soil conditions are, you know, if you got it in shade or if you got it in sun or, you know, half and half, whatever.
You need a little adjustment.
You know which way to go.
Yeah.
And then that way you'll have success in your own landscape if you're doing it. So if you're a first-time plant buyer, go slow, get used to it. And if you have success, then you can increase your camellia herd or any other plants that you're planting.
Seems like our motto today is start out with St. John's wort.
Yeah. Beware planted in your neighbor's yard, not yours.
Yeah.
But eventually it'll get to your yard. You can plant it a block away. It'll eventually get to you. So Another good idea, of course, is to talk to your neighbors that have, say, camellias growing in their yard, and ask them, you know, what do they treat their plants with? Do they spray them? Do they have any bug problems? Do they have anything that's bad for the plant? How much do they water them? When do they water them? It's like this year, it's so wet out there, and here we are, April 12th.
Middle of April, basically.
And it rained at my place really good last night. It was raining this afternoon, and as I got back towards Roseburg, there was a little bit of sun. I don't know if it's still shining or not.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? We don't have a window in this
joint. We don't
have
a window here. Kyle, can you fix that?
Yeah, give us a skylight so we can watch the rain. But when you have a little bit of experience, you'll begin to see your efforts of growing things will increase greatly. That will give you more confidence to try new plants that you've never tried before. And if you just kind of hold all that on the same level, if you will, and you'll have more success than failure. It's really an easy thing to do. So
seems like this is the time for Easter lilies.
Easter lilies? Yeah, there's Easter lilies around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just think, Mother's Day is another month.
Your favorite time of the year.
Oh, yeah, Father's Day. We're going to help the new owners deliver.
Well, that'll keep you young.
Yeah, that'll keep me busy for 3-4 days. So, is that how we doing on time? We're out. Thank you for listening.
Well, you know what's coming up next week or not yet?
What's next week? I'll be here.
Okay.
How's that?
I thought you might have a subject.
No, I think about my subjects for a week before I get here.
There you go. That's a good way to do it. All right. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
The Afternoon Report is next on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.